T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Mornings with Chad, Joe, and Lo on 95.7 The Game.
801, thanks for your time, Chad, Joe, and Lo. Busy show for busy people, and we have an action-packed hour for you. Pound for pound, King of the Ring, Andre Ward going to join us at 8:15. Big fight coming up on Saturday. He'll stop by, and then we're going to go live to Philadelphia and talk with Javier Lopez, trying to make sense of what went down in Philly last night in that scoring fest, which was crazy. But we got to talk about some college football right now. The AP, they have been ranking the best teams in college football for the last 80 seasons. So for the first time, their first poll is back in 1936. The AP has compiled an all-time list. Top 100 based on a formula that counts poll appearances, 1 point. To mark consistency, number one rankings, 1 bonus point to acknowledge elite programs, and a bonus for AP championships, 1 an extra 10 points. Now the top 5 teams using the criteria are the following: Ohio State, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Alabama, and Southern California. Now, Lo, Fresno State not in the top 5, but what do you think when you look at that list, my man?
I think there's some deserving teams in there. I remember, there's a team that I used to love watching was Sooners, man. Sooner bred. You know, Sooner born, Sooner bred. Gonna be a Sooner day I'm dead. I mean, Barry Switzer. And
you could have blocked for guys. Billy Sims. He had the soul glow.
Man, Billy Sims, baby. Number 20. That dude cat was unbelievable. Could jump. Could do it all.
The all-activator backfield.
You know what? That's what it'd been. Little juices and berries. We would have got it done. We hit guys. We would have knocked the snot out of him. I tell you what, he was an amazing, amazing running back. But I look at those guys also, the Cornhuskers, man. I'm surprised they didn't make the top 5. Nebraska, man, Rozier and you know, Osborne. I mean, that was always a great. But you look at that top 5. Alabama, you know they should be somewhere in there. You know, when you look at USC, the rich tradition. And I think if you look about the tradition at these schools, the Notre Dame's, all these schools, I think, I don't know who's won. Don't know who's won. But I know that these are some good schools that are in there.
Notre Dame, huh? Very fancy.
What jumps out at you when you look at this list, Joe?
You have to take it for what it's worth. These lists are phenomenal talking points. They're great for debates. They're great for situations like this. Great content for radio, great content for TV. But the bottom line is it's going to lead to a lot of bashing and a lot of criticism. And you just got to understand you're never going to be able to please all the people. Anyone who's ever been on the other side of the equation, try coming up with power rankings. Try coming up with any sort of here's an example of something I did 5 or 6 years ago when I was writing. I just ranked all the NFL stadiums. I've been damn near all of them, but I ranked all of them based on just everything. Modern amenities, location, what the fans say about it, fans I had talked to who had been there. You just put something like that out for fun in the middle of summer when not much is going on. You will get smoked by people who feel their team is ranked too low, their stadium's ranked too low, their program, their love. They can't handle it.
So you got firebombed from comments.
Oh, crushed. Absolutely crushed. Minnesota, I ranked Minnesota dead last. Do you know why? It was the year the damn dome collapsed under the pressure of the snow and the snow poured on the field. And Minnesota fans were screaming at me, how can you rate us last? You're a complete expletive, expletive, expletive. And it's like, your stadium isn't even playable. You have a stadium that, unlike all others, is completely unplayable. You rank last. They're unwilling to accept that. So we have to understand with this list, we got to take it for what it's worth. Now to the criticism. Miami at 13 is completely unacceptable. I get that the major criteria here is we're stretching damn near 100 years into the past, and we're looking at everything that's happened throughout that time. That's why Michigan is sitting at 7 despite winning only 2 national titles. Michigan's been around a long time, storied program, historic coaches, players, matchups, rivalries, Rose Bowls, etc. But Michigan is not ahead of Miami. And I know people will say, well, Miami only was a short burst window. It's like Mike Tyson, short burst window. What Miami did in those 20 years was more impressive than anything any college football program has done in any 20-year window ever. To put them at 13, I'm not saying they should be 1, but they should be sitting right there on the fringe of the top 5. I think that's reasonable based on what Miami means to college football. Miami changed the game. Miami changed recruiting. Miami changed everything. That's when it became about the players. That's when the players realized they could be celebrities, that they could take it to another level as a brand before they got to the National Football League. So Miami at 13 behind. Penn State, for example, no way. LSU, Florida and Florida State, I don't see it. I really don't see it. And if your criteria for this is going to be duration of success, I like Ohio State in the top three. I would have Notre Dame number one. I think Notre Dame has sustained, while they haven't done much recently in terms of national titles, they've won eight total, and they are as historic and accomplished a program as any in the country. I would put them number one.
The Hurricanes, they have five AP national championships, 83, 87, 89, 91, and 2001. And Lo, you know this as well as anyone. Ray Lewis, just one of the many, many great players who have come out of that university. It's unbelievable the wealth they've dumped into the league.
Ed Reed, I mean, the list goes on. I mean, the quarterbacks, the running backs, all the guys they had there. It's just pretty amazing. When you talk about the most athletic and phenomenal, it'd be them by a landslide. And you talk about when you say, yeah, if you want a duration of the 100 years, no, you can't put Florida. But if you're just talking about what they did in that time span, it's unprecedented. They just dominated. I mean, Luke Skywalker, what was his name, the rapper, that they were in videos, they were doing it. I mean, it was Campbell. They were doing everything you looked around Florida had. They were big time. You saw that era for Florida was unbelievable. Watching these guys in videos, watching the way that they toyed with the competition. It was such dominance by a school and a university. And using the kids just from Florida, that's what made it so amazing. Just these kids came out of Florida.
They are the reason. The Miami Hurricanes are the reason the SEC is the powerhouse that it is today. The greatest conference in college football, Miami's the reason for that. Miami showed you flat out how much absurd talent can be located in such a small geographic region. Howard Schnellenberger, when he took over at Miami, put a map of Florida up on the board for all his assistant coaches to look at. He walked up to it. He took a marker. And Tampa Bay is located right in the center, drew a line across the state of Florida right at Tampa Bay, looked at all his assistants and said, we're only focused south of this line. Everything south of this line is ours. Don't go north. Don't worry about Georgia, Texas, California. We just want our backyard. There's much good talent here.
No one believed him
going into Miami Gardens and all the tough neighborhoods down there. No one believed him. And then they fielded a team with all South Florida dudes, and they showed everyone how much talent is located in the South, not just in Miami, not just in Southern Florida, everywhere in the South. It is a hotbed of talent, and that's why the SEC is what it is today, because Miami paved the way and showed everyone you can recruit locally and put a national contender out there. As we scroll through this, however, I notice, no Fresno State, and it goes to 99.
No Fresno State, no Bulldogs.
Towards the bottom, you've got Duquesne. You've got something at 98 called Iowa Pre-Flight. At 99, Columbia. Also tied at 99, William & Mary. Nevada and Bowling Green.
Shame.
So it's unfortunate, but a lot more success. Purdue, 36. Despite recent struggles, Purdue's at 36 ahead of such programs as TCU, Syracuse, Army, California, Baylor, South Carolina.
Look at Purdue, man. I tell you, Purdue, they've had some stud Hall of Fame. I mean, they got so many Hall of Famers. Rod Wood. I mean, come on. Woody's in there. I mean,
Drew Breesy.
Everett. They had some hell of a talent. But you know what? They might not be ranked far as football. But I tell you right now, engineering program, top five in the country.
Oh, yeah.
And let me tell you about I just received something in the mail about what Lowe's tuition is a year at Purdue. Take a guess. Just 1 year.
He's on scholarship, isn't he?
Scholarship.
But this is what it would cost as an out-of-state student at Purdue.
Yes.
If he wasn't on scholarship.
Yes.
I don't know. Penn State was like 10 grand a year. So probably, I don't know. It's a state school, so.
Yeah, 10, 12. Yeah, that sounds good.
20 grand.
Yeah, 20. And what do you think?
I would have said 18.
18. How about 5'5"? $55,000 a year.
That's ridiculous.
$55,000
for Purdue?
Purdue.
Now, that's not to knock Purdue, but it's a state school.
Yes.
He's coming from Texas, so out of state. I get that.
$55,000?
True friend.
Jesus, more than my car.
Yeah. It's
more than, way more than
I
my
would
car.
Like to believe it's more than your car. You rolling around in a Tesla like Papa?
No,
self-driving Tesla?
I need one, though. That'd be nice.
55 grand.
So 220 grand.
Yes.
to attend Purdue for 4 years. So that's assuming you get done in 4 years. That's assuming we're not talking about an apartment, rent,
extra money,
bills, spending money, fun.
Right. 200, bro.
And they wonder why no one can get ahead in this country at times.
I seriously, I don't know how the average parent, a couple, makes, okay, $150,000 a year. Think about that. That's a good, for two people to make $150,000, you guys got pretty good jobs. So, and after you take out taxes, you make $100,000. Then you got your rent, $2,000, that's $24,000 gone. You haven't even talked about your car, your electric, your food, eat. And try to save them. You have two kids, $55,000 a year.
So you're either a parent who's completely, oh man, you know what? I made a huge mistake. Fresno State's 72 on this list. Damn.
Yes. Yeah, he was starting.
Damn, I didn't see him. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was scrolling through because some jabroni was talking about where Villanova is. They are on the list, believe it or not. They're 95. But Fresno State
Thank
is 72.
You.
I'm sorry. I owe you an apology.
You bet. Okay.
I apologize for that. There's no excuse. I was lazy with the list.
They're actually tied for 72.
They're directly behind Wyoming and Tulane. Sean Kang.
You know what? Get out of here.
But back to what you're saying. Yeah. Two major issues. One, if you're the parents and you're trying to do this, how do you put together $200,000 in scratch in the hopes that, A, your kid will pick a major he likes at 18 years old, he or she likes at 18 years old, that they will stick with, get done in 4 years, get out on time, apply that to the field they get into, enjoy it, and then have success with it for the rest of their life.
With one kid.
Huge gamble, one kid. Number two, let's say it's not on the parents, it's on the kid. By the time you graduate with that degree, an undergrad degree, by the way, which pretty much only just puts you on par with another 15 million kids, you're coming out with over $200,000 in debt. How are you going to wrestle out from that with an entry-level job where you're going to need to pay rent and utilities and have a car and life and maybe a couple bucks for fun here and there?
And maybe get married. And maybe
Forget about that.
Right, and maybe that kid starts having a family. How do you pay this debt off? $200,000, bro. God.
I need a Draymond-like opportunity to be able to pay for my kids to go to college.
I mean, it's absurd.
That's only 2 years, by the way. Not even.
Teach him the knuckleball. Teach him the knuckleball. Get in the baseball, throw a hell of a knuckleball, be that guy. That's what I'm going
to
do.
And then, and for parents to live, though, you got to realize, okay, to save $55,000 and to save $200,000 because you got to pay for college, how are they living? You got to realize. And then you still have to live and survive and take care of kids and do other things. And that's not including – you're paying for preschool. You're paying for freaking if you go to a private school. It's so much money.
And how old is your son?
So Dean's 3.5.
So you've got 14 years. So 55,000 times what happens over 14 years. And this is a school in the middle of Indiana.
Ooh.
No one wants to be in Indiana.
I know.
I can't imagine for a guy that doesn't carry a wallet what that $55,000 number meant to you.
It's amazing, man. I'm blessed. I thank God for it. I mean, I got that.
Good sperm, son. Congrats on that sperm.
Yeah.
That is a job well done by you. Go home tonight, ice up, have a little scotch, smoke a cigar, look in the mirror and realize you done came up.
And don't forget you got two more later.
I'm going to call my dad after the show today and tell him I'm sorry. I used to make fun of him because he would always wear underwear with holes in it. And now I get it. He couldn't afford to buy new underwear.
Yeah. She's right. I got two more girls. That's why I did that 528.
Are there dance scholarships?
No. So I'm going to have to pay. Mm. But I already got it. I already funded them.
Golf or tennis?
I've already funded them. $30,000 a year. You do it for 7 years, you're good.
I'm going to fund a little snippage at the doctor's office after this. That's what I'm going to fund.
That might be the smartest investment
you've
ever made.
They should be charging. They should charge $1 million for that because I'd still pay it. I'd pay $1 million to get cut off.
It's tough.
Hit us up. We want to know your solution for how you deal with the cost of tuition and or if you want to share how much debt you're in because of college tuition. Hit us up, 95795, PenskeAutoSales.com. Text line, Saturday night, 7:30. It's huge. Pound for pound, king of the ring. Andre Ward is up next. 8:14, Chad, Joe, and Lowe, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game.
8:17, our next guest, a gold medalist. And pound for pound, king of the ring this Saturday night, 7:30. See him in the ring against Alexander Brand at Oracle Arena. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. Andre Ward joins Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game. Hey, champ, it's great to have you back on the show. Good morning, my man.
Always good to be back. How are you?
Oh, very well. You know, you're a big favorite for the fight coming up on Saturday. What is your process for tuning out the noise and just focusing on what you do?
I mean, you know, the fortunate thing is I have experience behind me. You know, I've been boxing, you know, even though I'm, you know, just 31 years old, you know, I've been boxing over 20 years, coming up on 22 years here in December, you know, 10 years as an amateur, going on 12 years as a professional. So, you know, we've been in these positions before. And actually, you know, the tuning out part is really, you know, somewhat easy. You know, I kind of stay in my bubble. I stay in my zone. And coming out of that bubble was probably more challenging than anything to me. But you know, I got a job to do. This is what I do for a living. This is how I support my family. And it's a must that I stay focused no matter what's being said or what's being written.
Andre, we appreciate you taking time because I know you don't like to do a lot of, you know, speaking before fights. I know how what type of man you are and how dedicated you to your craft. Going in this fight, what are some of the things that you'd like to take away from this fight and some of the things that you would like to be sharp or some of the things that you want to work on going into this fight?
I mean, obviously, you know, if anybody knows anything about Alexander Brand, you know, some people are writing him off as an easy touch. And, you know, that happens. People, you know, superficially can look at a record or they may not know the guy and then they'll, you know, they'll easily write him off. But obviously we're not doing that. Alexander Brand is a veteran. He's only lost one time, and the individual he lost to is a current world champion. He's a very awkward fighter. He has everything to gain and nothing to lose, and those guys are extremely hard to fight. I mean, all the pressure's on me. I'm at home, and I have to find a way to get it done, and obviously I want to look good doing it. But in terms of specifics, you know, I just want to go out there and look good. I don't have one thing that I'm looking to you know, kind of make happen in terms of a technical standpoint. I just want to make sure that everything's clicking. You know, I may not be perfect out there, but at the end of the day, I just want to look better than I did my last fight and continue to improve and grow. And, you know, me and my coach, he's saying he wants some rounds. He wants me to get some rounds in the bank, but I had to remind him that, you know, we don't get paid by the hour, so I'm trying to get in and get out.
I couldn't agree with you more. Jay, when you're fighting a guy like this who's a veteran, like you talk about, savvy guy, knows ins and outs of fighting, some nuances of fighting, and can hit, this guy has some power. I mean, how do you try to combat the power? Is it in the angles? How do you know when you're fighting a fighter that has power or maybe just as more powerful, if not powerful than you? How do you avoid that, and how do you, you know, not get caught in any of these traps?
Well, I mean, you know, this is a game of inches, as you know, Lo. Just like most professional sports, you know, and specifically in boxing, you know, one punch can change everything. So I'm aware of that. You know, I'm very cognizant of all of those things. But the good thing is I have time in. You know, I have time in for this training camp. I have time in years in this sport. And a lot of what's going to happen Saturday night is instinct. It's just you going in there, having time in, you know, putting your work in and just reacting. And that's what I do the best. You know, game plans are great. I love to try to execute a game plan. I love to have specifics that I work on, but I also love to adjust and figure it out on the fly. And I'm ready, man. You know, I respect Brand. I respect what he brings to the table. But, you know, as a championship caliber fighter, you know, you got to look at both sides of the coin. You have to respect your opponent. You have to acknowledge what they do well. But then you also have to remind yourself that you're here, too, for a reason.
Pound for pound king Andre Ward joining Chad, Joe, and Lowe here on 95.7 The Game. The last fight against Sullivan Barrera at Oracle, that was your first foray into the light heavyweight division. Anything catch you off guard by just the jump up in weight class going up against a bigger, more physical opponent? And then part two from that, this time around, was it more difficult or challenging to keep the weight on and stay up at that level?
Nah, I mean, the weight issue was actually pretty interesting because, you know, I move up in weight from 168, which is the super middleweight limit, to light heavyweight, like you just mentioned. And even for my last fight against Sullivan Barrera, I mean, those last few pounds weren't easy. I mean, I'm looking in the mirror like, what the heck? Like, this is a new weight class. I'm supposed to ease into this. And then somebody had to remind me, well, listen, you know, you're not a young buck anymore. You're 32 years old and metabolism slows down. So maybe that's it. But, you know, the issue isn't keeping the weight on. I'm fine with that. I feel like I'm settling in really, really nice with the weight class. And you know, I'm a few pounds away from my weight that I have to lose today, which is Wednesday. The weigh-in is Friday. So I'm right where I need to be. It's just the 68-pound division, it just started to get to the point where, you know, it's a little bit too much. I'm stripping my body, you know, that last week or two. And you feel it. You're still in good shape when you get in the ring, but you feel just that little takes away from your power, takes away from your stamina. And at the highest level, fighting the best guys in the world, that's not healthy to do.
Speaking of that weigh-in, Friday at Oakland City Hall, 1 o'clock. Is there any particular way you'd like me to introduce you this time around? You want me to give you that Apollo Creed intro with like 15 nicknames?
Hey, I'm going to be honest. I like the King of the Ring. Every time I come on the show, you yeah. announce me and the intro is the King of the Ring. I like that. I love it. I may have to change my nickname from SOG to King of the Ring.
You could do both.
King of the Ring, I'll be good.
You could do both. Creed had like 20, and you were in that movie, so that counts.
Yeah.
Stuntman Wheeler.
Both. King of the Ring and SOG. Let's do that Friday.
Beautiful, beautiful. You got it. Andre Ward joining Chad, Joe, and Lowe here on 95.7 The Game. You are the last U.S. American boxer to claim gold at the Olympics. You did so in 2004 in Greece. How would you view this situation in Rio de Janeiro right now if you were in the situation you were 12 years ago? A lot of concerns over the infrastructure, the Zika virus. You know, what would be going through your mind at that point? Because that was a huge opportunity for you. Would you let that get in the way? Would you still go?
Oh, man, that's a great, great, great question. I mean, in 2004 when I went, when I had my opportunity to represent the country, the only thing, and I don't say that lightly, but the main thing we were concerned about, you know, were just terrorist attacks. You know, we had just gone to war. Things were, you know, very, very tumultuous, you know, in our country, and we weren't looked at in the greatest light at that point in time. So that was the main thing that we were, you know, focused on. But the reports coming out of Rio, and obviously I'm not there, but it's just unbelievable. You know, it's just something new every single day. And I don't know. If I had to make a decision, I would say that we, you know, me and my team, we probably would take the risk and jump in, because you get to that point, you don't want to walk away and kind of overreact to some of the reports. You know, I'm getting reports from the team that's there. I'm really close to all the young fighters, and you know, everything is fine. I mean, things are going on, but they're secure. They're fine. They're in the village. So I probably would go and, you know, just take that risk, because it's a chance of a lifetime.
Now, you're obviously focused on Saturday night fight against Alexander Brand, but we know you're big on the Bay Area sports scene. What do you think about the Oakland Raiders for this season? We've been hyping them up. A lot of people love the expectations for this team. Where do you see them coming out?
Well, listen, I think with any organization, with any company, with any entity as a whole, you know, it starts at the top. It starts with the foundation. And I think the Raiders have done it right, and I think they're doing it right. You know, they got Reggie McKenzie. They got a new coach who, you know, obviously, you know, feels the way that, you know, the organization feels and is buying into what the Raider vision is. And you know, they're starting slow. They're not trying to, you know, make a big splash with one big guy like we've typically done in the past, and then that doesn't work out. They kind of broke everything down. Everything was already broken down, and then they started to slowly build it back up. And that takes a few years, but I think if you understand football, you know, everybody can see what they're trying to do. Now, obviously, the players have to, you know, get in shape, get ready, and go out there and take care of business, but they're moving in the right direction, and slow and steady wins the race. And I think that's the path that the Raiders are on, and I think Raider fans, they're always excited, even if they're not winning. You know, they go out there and show, you know, all kind of love for the team. But they got a lot to be excited about, because I think that they're not only building a contender, but possibly a championship team one day.
Andre, when it's all said and done, you know, you're going to, you know, fight 2-3 years, how much it might be. You're very well spoken, very articulate, a great person, a great leader. And you see where boxing is today. You know, boxing, UFC is trying to take over. Would you be interested, or have you thought about being an agent and really helping guys and getting involved? Is that something you want to do?
You know, Lord, that's a great question. I struggle with that. You know, I really struggle with that because, you know, I had an entity set up, you know, SOG Promotions, just kind of, you know, sitting in the wings in case that's something I wanted to pursue at some point. You know, I've thought about the agent managerial role. You know, I even thought about going back to school to pursue something like that. And that's not out of the question. But right now, you know, I kind of relish being the guy that, you know, is always available, has his phone on. You know, I've been through a lot in the sport, a lot of great things, some rough times, which is, you know, normal. That's life. I love being the guy that young amateurs, even seasoned veterans, up and coming pro fighters can call and say, "Hey bro, what do you think about this? Hey man, what would you do in this situation?" Like when no cameras are around, nobody can hear us. Like those are the kind of things that I relish. And if that's where it stays, where I'm just that guy, man, I'm pleased with that. But you know, wherever I can give back and wherever I can be most utilized, that's where I want to put my focus.
I'll tell you what, Andre, Joe's got you down with the Apollo Creed names. If you want, I could be like the Paulie that could sit in your corner and talk trash to everyone else if you want and be like, yo, I don't sweat you.
Don't do it, Dre.
I'm watching Creed on Saturday afternoon to see your appearance to get geeked up for the fight, Andre.
I need that. Come on now. I need it.
All right. Pound for pound, King of the Ring in action.
Son of God, baby.
Saturday night, 7:30 at Oracle Arena. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. Andre Ward with Chad Joe and Lowe on 95.7 The Game. Champ, good luck. We wish you the best.
Hey, fellas, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Wow.
He's going to kick ass on Saturday. And then Vegas, November, Kovalev.
Oh, that can't wait for it.
You got a chance Friday, Oakland City Hall, for the announcements. You can come out and meet me, and then you might be able to also meet him if you care.
Go ahead. Tell us. Give us a little sum.
Son, you got to pay for that. I don't just give out words for free.
You're getting paid for it right now. You know, I just wanted to.
I'm getting paid for these words.
No, Stallion, I didn't say snails. I said nails. Nails.
Stuntman. Danny the Stuntman. Was it Danny Stuntman Wheeler?
Yeah.
Was his character in Creed?
So awesome.
You gonna throw?
He was good in that, too.
Yeah. Are you going to throw AKA?
Yeah, I'm doing it.
Okay.
Yeah, I just got approval.
Okay.
So I'm definitely going AKA.
Oh my God.
I'm going right off that script. If Rock Nation's listening, I'm going off your script.
I'm walking there like crazy.
And then I'm going to expect an email here in 5 minutes. We're going a different direction.
It's showtime.
We don't need some lunatic morning show guy taking over this weigh-in, hooting and hollering all over Oakland City Hall.
Are you going to slick the hair back? You're going to suit it?
I'm getting it cut today.
I'm getting it cut.
I got the suit and everything, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, so it's the way I'm doing the weigh-in Friday, and then Saturday, right before they go live to buffer, I'm doing all the in the stadium. I'm going to be doing all the hype man stuff, getting people fired up.
I like that.
People fired up. I'll be there for sound check, I think, at 1.
Yeah.
They open the doors at 2:30. Your boy's just going to be hooting and hollering all over the microphone trying to get people fired up throughout the day.
We're going to put one air with the boys in Oaktown.
I don't even know. I'm a professional, man. What's wrong with you?
What are you talking about, Lowe?
We're going to that Vegas fight, though.
We're all over it.
I need you to call Bellagio and get that credit line extended.
I got it back. We're going.
I hope Dre's drinking that black water. That's what
I want. That big credit line. Don't get that minuscule one. I want that six-figure credit line back in play. Your wife isn't listening.
I can't do it. $55,000, Joe. Tuition. I can't think about that kind of
stuff.
That's
one hand of blackjack for you, son.
Someone on a
You split those eights and then you double down. You got college taken care of in 2 minutes.
From one champ to another, we go to Javier Lopez live from Philly. We'll talk some baseball. What's up with the pitching? 8:30, Chad, Joe, and Lowe, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game.
8:35, the Giants on the road in Philadelphia taking on the Phillies right now. He is a four-time World Series champ, and he joins us Wednesdays to talk baseball. Giants reliever Javier Lopez with Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game. Javi, good morning. Great to have you back on the show. How you doing?
Morning, guys. I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, very well. What is it like being in the clubhouse, you know, just following the trade deadline when you have to say goodbye to some of the teammates that you enjoy being around, and this time it was Matt Duffy?
Yeah, you know, obviously, when you want to get something that you need, it's going to cost a lot. And, you know, Duffy was that guy for us. You know, Matt Moore is the need for us, and it's something that's just the cost of business nowadays. And it's unfortunate that you do have to say goodbye to Duff. But you know, I think we're excited about the opportunity that Moore brings us, and Duff's going to get a chance to play. Play his original position in shortstop down there in Tampa, and hopefully he goes down there and he shines. And so, you know, you root for him, you root for good guys, and he's one of those for sure.
You know, Javi, you pay attention to what's going on around the majors and what other teams have done. What do you think about what your club was able to do in terms of bolstering that pitching staff and adding, you know, a really good player in Eduardo Nunez?
Well, I think we're checking the top of the boxes that we needed some help in, and I think Bobby and the rest of the front office did a great job of going out there and addressing those needs. And again, you know, they felt that the cost was worth the opportunity to win a title this year and win a division. So, you know, they made the moves that they wanted to make. But it's something that we needed. We needed a little help in the rotation, a little more depth in the bullpen, and obviously a utility guy like Nunez, who really can play everywhere, and he's going to be asked to play third a lot now that Duff is out. You know, he's a dynamic player, can steal bases, has power. So, you know, we did a lot of good things for sure.
The bullpen in Philadelphia is all the way out there in center field, so I'm assuming you didn't have a chance to listen to the jabroni who was heckling the umpire and then got thrown out last night?
Yeah, no, we just saw him walk over there, and we thought he was yelling at our dugout initially, but then we saw him going right to the left of the dugout and figured somebody was getting a talking to and getting kicked out, and read the transcripts afterwards saying that the guy was dropping a bunch of craziness at the umpire. And it's still a family show. People kind of forget that aspect when they start getting liquored up. You forget those things. And so that's what Bob Davidson was doing. He said, you know, there's kids around that area that don't need to be listening to that kind of language. And you know, good for him. I mean, obviously we all try to have that thick skin, but you know, that's the thing. One thing that I think bothers most players and most people that they're at games. When you got kids sitting around, you still got a guy that's paid his money for a ticket and feels that he can just say what he wants, and you don't need your kids to be hearing of that.
You know, Philadelphia has a reputation for having some more aggressive fans. All your years in the league, which cities kind of stand out to you? Have you ever taken a big heckling anywhere?
Yeah, usually this is the spot. There's no doubt about it. This is one of the spots that, you know, they had to start putting in some planters above the bullpen because they could just hang over and be yelling at you the whole game. So this is a tough place to come play back, you know, right around their World Series times. And it hasn't been quite the same the last couple of years, but they still have enough flair in here to get it done. They're quick on the smartphones. They look you up real quick, see what you got going. And, this is one of the spots for sure. And LA is another good spot. New York crowd isn't bad either. They're pretty quick with their, they're quick witted and they're quick with the smartphones as well. But, yeah, Philly was always the benchmark.
Giants reliever Javier Lopez joining Chad, Joe, and Lowe here on 95.7 The Game. News came down yesterday that with the addition of Matt Moore, Jake Peavy would be moving to the bullpen. And, of course, in the aftermath of that, he says all the right things. Bochy says all the right things. What is it about that locker room and that organization that when guys go through tough times, it's just a nothing but positivity? You know, you have other teams that maybe a little dysfunction occurs, or maybe there are some comments in the media that show some disgruntlement with the decision. But with the Giants, it always just seems to be guys understanding their role and understanding that this is a business, and whatever they can do to help the team win, they're going to be willing to do. What is it that makes it so easy for you guys?
Well, I mean, obviously, I think Jake is a true professional. He's been in this game for 15 years. He knows what he's doing, and he has a long relationship with Bochy, and I think that helps smooth it over. Obviously, he wants an opportunity to pitch, opportunity to start, and you know, once you make a move for a guy like Matt Moore, the guy that you're expecting a lot out of, you know, somebody's got to take a hit to, and it was Jake, and Jake. Jake, you know, like you said all the right things, and he was down there yesterday, and he's anxious to just kind of learn the bullpen life. He's only been down there for maybe one playoff game, I think, down in the bullpen. So he's trying to get the lay of the land and figure out how it goes, and that's what you want. You just want guys that want to play and want to win, and they don't care how they do it, how they help. They just want to be a part of it, and that's where Jake's at. And, you know, if it's him pitching once every 5 days, or if it's him having a chance to pitch a couple times a week now out of the bullpen, that's what he's going to do. And he's not going to ruffle any feathers. He's just down there to do what he can to contribute. And that's the best part. That's what you really want to see. And I think that's what a lot of the younger guys responded to. And even me, a guy that's been around a little while, I like to see a veteran like that just go ahead and take it for what it is and go and embrace the new role and the new situation and try to thrive in it. And that's what I think we all expect out of them. And it I guess that's just the culture that we have when we've been able to win with guys that are just sometimes playing out of position, playing out of roles, but just trying to play to win and playing for each other. I think it just kind of shows. And yet again, it showed again yesterday with him just accepting the job.
But I'm going to try to do an impression here. Tell me, is this what happened after the game? Let me speak to you. I just wanted to tell you I wanted to get Will involved a little early, Will Smith, but I'm sorry about that. Maybe I should have went with you. Be ready to go to, tomorrow night.
That's not bad, actually. That's a pretty good buzz.
Hey, was it tough, though, watching him come in and know he's been on the road and, you know, comes right in and have to pitch, put in a tough situation? Did it show some courage last night for him to do that?
Well, I think just like anybody, when you get traded, you know, I've been in that position. The last thing you want to do is sit around and not play. So, you know, Bochy, I think, understands that. So he wanted to get him into an inning, and it just worked out perfectly where he's going to be facing a left-hander and get a couple of the right-handers going. And you want him to be your lefty setup guy right now. I mean, that's why you traded two very good prospects for him. And that's that. Will obviously had a long travel day yesterday, and he really only made one bad pitch. An infield hit. What are you going to do? The guy just flat out just flew down the line and got on base, and then he gave up a double. But he's going to be a tremendous asset for us. There's no doubt about it. And I think obviously he didn't have the outing that he wanted, but I think he's excited that he's playing on a contender. He was really happy. And, you know, he had been on a plane the entire day flying in from San Diego. So just to see the smile on his face and even on Matt Moore's face, too, when they're happy to be here. And I'm excited for these guys, and they're excited to be a part of it. And, you know, the Giants do have some history right now. And obviously it being an even year and us being in first place, there's a lot of opportunity for great things. So, you know, I know he's excited to get back out there again and this time probably with a little more rest, which will be nice for him.
Javi, I got two more questions for you. First off, Richard Aurelia told us once that one of his favorite places to get food was in Milwaukee there at Miller Park. But now you're in Philly. Have you crushed a cheesesteak yet?
You know, you have to knock. It's rite of passage when you're in Philly. You just have to go ahead and knock down a cheesesteak. And the guys in the clubhouse, they actually keep track of all the teams that order cheesesteaks from them and all the amount that are eaten during three game sets, during four game sets. And they actually have a running tally on the year. And I want to say, we were just looking at it last year. I think they cranked out around 3,300 cheesesteaks throughout the entire season. So,
wow.
You know, everybody's putting in work when they come to Philly, no doubt about it.
Who on the Giant roster carries their load maybe a little bit more than anybody else?
It's still early since we've only been here for one day, but I'm going to have to put – I think Samardzija might be up there. I think he enjoys a couple, takes one home after the game. A lot of guys end up doing that. It's going to be an interesting run. I think Samardzija will be up there. Romo will be up there. Even though he is skinny, he does love him some cheesesteaks. So, you know, those guys will knock down a couple a day, which is pretty impressive as far as I'm concerned.
We're talking with Javier Lopez, four-time World Series champ. I wanted to go back to Bruce Bochy Gnome Day. What were your thoughts on how Bochy handled that situation where he pulls Kane, who's got a no-hitter working? You know, Mad Bum gets a pinch hit, and then he pulls Mad Bum to let Samardzija pinch run for him. You ever seen anything like that?
I've never seen that before. I think there's a couple things I've never seen. I've never seen that kind of triple play that we hit into. And then you got that one there with taking out a no-hitter and, you know, I think that's where we're at right now. You know, if we were up eight games like we were a couple weeks ago, then maybe he lets Kaner get out there and keep going. But he's going to manage, I think, more of in a playoff style where if we got the lead in the fifth inning, he's just going to turn it over to the bullpen and hope that we can close it out. And, you know, I think that's kind of what we're going to go for while the race is still tight. And hopefully we can get a couple wins and stretch this one out a little bit. But you know, you also want Matty to have confidence, and he was pitching well. Obviously, he had a no-hitter going, but he's only got nothing but he's got a good attitude going right now and a lot of confidence after doing that against a potent lineup like the Nationals. So it's a positive for him. We're excited for him, and that's just how it's going to be. I think Giants fans are kind of used to that, where some of the pitchers might be getting some quicker hooks than normal. And, you know, so far it's working, so you can't knock it.
Well, Javi, good luck the rest of the way on this road trip, and we'll talk with you next week.
Guys, as always, I appreciate it.
You got it. Sergio Romo, a big Philly cheesesteak guy.
I'd be in there crushing.
What was it you said?
Pablo probably hated getting traded to the AL because, obviously, less opportunities in Philadelphia.
You said, because you're a connoisseur to an extent, what'd you say, the bread is the key?
The roll is the key to everything. Everywhere else you go in the country, everyone wants to sell you their Philly cheesesteak. And they think they're real creative when they put the whiz on it because cheese whiz is the way to do it there. But that's not what's necessary. What's necessary is the roll. When you use a crappy roll, it gets soggy and the whole thing falls apart. That's completely unacceptable. The roll is the key. It's the foundation to a good cheesesteak.
Wait, cheese whiz? You legitimately put cheese whiz? I had no idea.
Well, you clean the cheese whiz out of your ears and maybe you'd have heard
me. No. That's why I was like, wait a second.
No, Cheese Whiz.
Seriously?
Cheese Whiz. Yeah, that's what you put on it. That's the main thing. Not from the spray can. Like, they make the hot, like,
okay,
nacho
okay.
cheese sort of thing.
That's what I was confused.
But here's the kicker. You got to be smart. You put the cheese on the roll before you put the steak on. If you do it the other way around, it gets clumpy and messy, and then it all falls apart.
That liquid cheese is phenomenal. I am very hungry now, Joe. Thank you.
You do that. You do the cheese fries. Mm-hmm. Get this. I was talking about that stupid article I wrote years ago about ranking the NFL stadiums. USA Today just released top 30 MLB stadiums ranked. Just out of nowhere today. We got the rankings for you.
Awesome.
Couple mistakes here. Couple big mistakes.
848, Chad, Joe, and Lowe, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game.
It's 8:50. Time for us to head over to the sports desk and bring in Anna.
The lovely Anna.
Ah, good. Keep saying nice things about me, Lowe.
These two are at odds today. This is a great day. Lowe has pushed boundaries all day long.
Tisk, tisk, tisk. That's all I got to say. All right, so Reds and Cardinals playing in Cincinnati, and Reds first baseman Joey Votto got prevented from catching a ball when he made contact with a fan who happened to be in a red shirt. He was at home, mind you. He was obviously upset, stared at the fan, grabbed the Reds logo on the man's shirt, basically saying, come on, you're a Cincy fan, stay out of the way. So the question today was, do fans have an obligation to get out of the way in a game? 53% of the voters on 957thegame.com say no, they do not. On Twitter, different story, at 957thegame, 73% say yes. You could also let us know what you think by using the hashtag TakeYourPick. From Gary, he says, technically, it's all fair game if the ball is in the stands, but if it's your own team, get out of the way. Then Jerry, if the ball crossed over into the stands, then no.
Big thanks to our great friends from FH Daily and Novato Chevrolet for sponsoring the poll. Huh. I like what the one Giant fan said when he called in earlier. He said, look, if you're a fan, you're going to do whatever you can to make sure that the guy on the other team doesn't make the catch. I just think it's tough. I like how you broke it down, Joe. Spectators and fans.
Fans, you have an obligation to get out of the way and let your guy make a play. You have an obligation to get in the way and impede a player from the opposing team. That doesn't mean you punch him or grab him. Doesn't mean you lean over the field. But this situation last night, as a Reds fan, slide out of the way, let Votto make that play. If it's the other team, the Cardinals, get involved and go up and make that play. Disrupt it. That's what you've got to do as a fan. You want to use the term we need to win today. We looked good today. Do your part.
8:52, Chad, Joe and Lowe, 95.7 The Game. You mentioned earlier the article you wrote a few years back on the top NFL stadiums. You came across one today, ironically enough, in regards to the MLB.
Amazing. So it's USA Today for the win. Is the section of USA Today. You've got Andrew Joseph and Ted Berg. Andrew Joseph and Ted Berg, who ranked all 30 MLB stadiums. Can anyone guess what number one would be? Or instead of guessing, would you just want to tell me what you think number one would be? What would be your opinion of number one?
Giant Stadium.
Yeah. AT&T Park.
Yeah, I'd say Giants. Probably.
Number two on the list.
Baltimore.
Number one, Petco Park in San Diego.
Yeah.
Now, a great structure, but I wouldn't rank it number one because there are so many variables to bring in the play. I don't think this specifically deserves the number one ranking.
But here's the reason why. Both their teams are in California. The views for both these two parks, if you look at Petco.
It's a downtown area. Who cares?
You still got Coronado over here, you can see. It's beautiful there.
Yeah, if I climb up to the last row and I look over the back, I can see Coronado.
Still got that's a beautiful downtown San Diego. I think both these two parks here in this park, AT&T.
You're down with Petco, aren't you, though?
Yeah,
both. The AT&T view kills the Petco view. It kills it. So if we're doing this on view, it's got to go to AT&T. And I don't know what's happened to Petco that would get them. It's a better structure, a nicer structure, because AT&T is simple. It doesn't have a whole lot going on. It's about the view and the game. What happens on the field is outstanding. The Coliseum, where do we think that's ranked?
Going bottom of the list here.
Last.
I'm going to say somewhere in probably at the bottom.
It's last. You don't need to try to handicap it as 28th or 29th. It is dead last. I mean, sewage, for crying out loud. It is dead last, and they don't even try to make any excuses. Pittsburgh is ranked 3.
Great view of downtown.
Pittsburgh is 3. Great dude. Great dude, Pittsburgh. Number 4. Now, you see, this is where the problem comes in. 4 is Wrigley, and then
historical.
8 is Fenway. Now, 7 is Coors Field in Colorado. I've been there. It's a nice park. How is that going to be ranked ahead of Fenway?
Yeah.
Wrigley and Fenway alone, for history's sake, need to be in the top 4. Now, you can make some arguments that some other buildings are nicer. You cannot have Fenway down at 8. You cannot have Wrigley at 4. They should be up there in the top 3. I mean, those are historic.
I've been to Coors and Safeco. I think they were both constructed by the same company, but I love both those parks. Incredible views and great feel for, you know, these new age stadiums.
Safeco's middle of the pack. So Wrigley at 4, Dodger Stadium at 5. I don't know what's so great about that place. 6 is Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City. 7's Coors Field for Colorado. Fenway Park at 8. Target Field in Minnesota, 9. City Field for the Mutts, 10th. Camden Yards, that should be a little bit higher, I would say. That's 11.
That's
you
can
put that
place
ahead of the Mets. Globe Life Park for the Rangers, 12. Busch Stadium for the Cardinals, 13. Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia, 14. And the Nationals Park, 15. Seattle, Safeco Field is 16 on the list.
I think the Rangers are trying to get a new ballpark as well.
Oh, too, and right? They're fleecing the taxpayer like you couldn't imagine the hustle they're running down there in Arlington. Look into that one day. Look at the hustle in Cobb County, Georgia, how they're fleecing the taxpayers there. And then look at what they're doing in Texas, too.
Haberman and Middlecoff live from Napa coming up next, 9 to noon. Daniel Jeremiah going to join them at 11:15. It's 8:56. Chad, Joe, and Lowe, 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.